Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As we reflect today on the meaning of the fast and how we can seize it with both hands and make it work for us, we remember, as well as the fasting day, the time when we break the fast in the evening, and the time when we prepare to begin the fast in the morning, the suhoor and the iftar. And of all of the different aspects of this month, the recollection of him, the focus on the Qur'an, the focus on zakat and the poor, all of the particular blessings which Ramadan brings to us, one aspect that it seems to me we sometimes neglect is a sharper focus on what is sustaining us in the form of Allah's rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the halal and the tayyiba. Kulu mimma razaqnakum, eat of that which we have provided for you, halal and tayyiba, halal and tayyib. Just as we would not wish to break our fast on a pork sausage, we should not, if we follow the meaning of this verse, break the fast on something that is not tayyib. This is a reminder that Islam is not just a list of rules that doesn't affect us within, but that there is a moral and a spiritual and a transcendent aspect to what we do that is often harder to put into words. What is halal? The Sharia is quite clear about what constitutes halal rizq. What is tayyib? That is to say, what is good is a more subtle thing. And we can understand quite clearly what is meant by it when we consult the Qur'an and the hadith. Famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Holy Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah has commanded the believers with what He has commanded the messengers. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah says, O messengers, the khitab here, the discourses to the messengers, eat of that which we have provided you with, and may it be tayyib, in a tayyibat, and do what is right. I see what you do. What's the meaning of this command to kind of eat? Why do we need a commandment to eat? That's kind of a fundamental instinctual thing. If you don't do it for a few days, then you fall over dead. What's the point of a divine command to eat? It's like a divine command to breathe. Seems a bit of a strange thing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, of the tayyibat, the good things. And then the hadith goes back to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who speaks of a man, yutilu safar, ashatha aghbar, yamuddu yadayhi ila sama', ya Rabb, ya Rabb, wa mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, wa malbasuhu haram, fa anna yustajabu lah. So then the Holy Prophet mentions a man who's on a long journey and is dusty and his hair is matted, and he raises his hands and he says, ya Rabb, ya Rabb, but his food is haram and his drink is haram and his clothes are haram. So how can his prayer be answered? Outwardly, he seems to be in the state that we are in when we fast, that we're kind of dependent and helpless and needy. But prayers are not answered unless there is this compliance with the divine command. And the ulama have spent some time discussing this. For instance, is a prayer valid if you say it in clothes that have been stolen? The burglar returns from his night's work and get and is ready for Fajr and has just stolen somebody's suit and he prays in it. Is that pray? He prays in it. Is that prayer acceptable? There's several views. The general view is that it's strongly disliked, but the prayer is not actually invalidated by that. But some of the early jurists, Imam Taus and others, said no, it's not valid. This is something that is important. So this Tayyib moves into a space which is spiritual, because there's something about wearing something that is not legitimate that is going to affect your prayer, even though on the face of it, it's covering the aura. So what is going on? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this idea, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is good, tayyib, and only accepts what is good and tayyib. In a number of places, for instance, we are told that at the gate of paradise, he will say, Salamun alaykum tibatum fadkhuluha khalidin. To the believers, peace be upon you, you have been good, tayyib, so enter the gates forever, enter the gardens forever. So this is the tayyib. Clearly this has many manifestations. One of them seems to be the moral quality of something that we do that may not be something that can immediately be fixed in Sharia. The tayyib is something that is about goodness rather than lawfulness. The two should align, but don't necessarily always overlap. Some of the early ulama refused to pray in a mosque that had been built by a sultan with money that had been improperly expropriated from people. They would prefer to pray outside the mosque rather than to enter it, because they felt, not that the prayer was invalid, but there was something inappropriate, something not tayyib, not goodly, about offering worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his tanzih, in his transcendence, when he is tayyib, if one is surrounded by this evidence of human foolishness and cruelty. And indeed, in some corners of the Muslim world where these things are still regarded as important and people are not just talking about Sharia boundaries, but are talking about meanings and that which, as it were, inheres in stones 5 centuries after a sultan might have taken somebody's money in order to finish his mosque, that there are certain mosques which are known to have been built with halal wealth and others which were doubtful. So the mosque of Sultan Bayezid in Istanbul is famous, and the righteous always like to pray their Jummah there, because the Sultan, despite all of the other things that he was doing, made sure that only lawful wealth was used to build this structure. So a prayer can be the same in two mosques, but because of something that happened, a wrong that was committed 5 centuries before, the Sharia insists that there's a difference. So this is really what we're talking about when we speak of tayyib. So when we think about how we break our fast, we should be thinking about the processes which have brought the food to our table. We should be thinking about climate change. This is important in Islam. Does it really make sense to drink a bottle of mineral water that is perfectly halal water if it has been shipped from New Zealand by a ship that is belching methane into the atmosphere in order to bring a bottle of water that's probably no better and no worse for you than the water in your local well? This is what we're looking at. Look at the genealogy of your food and drink. Look at the additives. Look at the artificiality of the ways in which Allah's rizq has been cultivated, chemical additives, frozen, dried, freeze-packed in plastics, various ways in which the industrial world makes food cheaper, makes it affordable, particularly to the poor. It's not necessarily wrong to industrialize the food chain, but we need to think about the extent to which this is necessary and the extent to which it's extravagant advertising. The packaging of so much of our food and drink, unnecessary. So this, it seems to me, is something that these verses are telling us to think about in Ramadan, that we often forget about. All too often in mosques you can attend the iftar and everybody is carelessly eating white rice with too much oil from sources that they never really think about, and then drinking large bottles of fizzy industrial drinks, which are not exactly rizq tayyib, although they're perfectly halal. We need to think about this and what kind of an example we're setting for a world that's increasingly concerned with the morality of food and drink production and with health and sustainability. So it's ethical rather than legal. We can make that distinction. And then most significantly, when we choose to ingest into ourselves the body of some animal, it's a momentous thing to take the life of a living creature. It's not a natural thing that's intrinsically right, even though our species is omnivorous in the state of nature, but still, insofar as the Quran speaks about other nations of the animals and the birds, umamun amthalukum, and we know the concern that the Holy Prophet expressed for animals once on one of his journeys. A young Sahabi came with a nest with chicks in it and said, "Look what I found, Ya Rasulullah." The Holy Prophet became angry and said, "Haven't you thought about the mother of these birds? Put it back where you found it." He's leading an army, he's changing the world, he has so many things on his mind, but this was something that he cared about. And very often in the month of Ramadan, not only do we consume too much, and too much meat, which the Holy Prophet والسلام, never did, although he ate meat and enjoyed it. He was not a vegetarian. He was a normal, fitri human being who shows the fullness of our humanity in nature in its most perfect form. But the extravagance and the forms of animal husbandry nowadays must give us pause. The chicken, biryani, in your plastic plate, halal, certified. But what about the kind of life that that chicken experienced? Cooped up maybe in factory conditions. And yet the Holy Prophet والسلام, says, "One of you may pray and fast, but if he wrongs a hen which he has owned, he is not to be considered amongst the just." Where does that make us as we thoughtlessly stuff our faces with rice and chicken and other things? We need at least to be aware of these things, and in our masajid, in our homes, in our communities, to see if we can move from the halal to the subset of the halal, which is the tayyib, that which is goodly, that which reflects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nature as himself, goodly and pure and right. Tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Allah is good, tayyib, and does not accept anything that is not good, tayyib. So inshallah, in this amazing month of Ramadan, one of the transformations in our thinking and in our soul work that we are experiencing will be thinking about this very important aspect of this multifarious month, this 1 month intensive retreat that teaches us so much about the outward and the inward aspects of the religion. We'll be thinking about the meanings of the tayyib and trying to move from greed to reflection, from the thoughtless consumption of whatever has halal on the label to a greater discernment, so that we become, again, an example to other ummas of creation care and of concern for the other khalaiq, for the other creatures, for the other nations, the other umam, which have a right to be treated decently in life and also in death. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a Ramadan of good conscience, a Ramadan of ethics, a Ramadan of reflecting on our responsibility, not just to our fellow Muslims and fellow human beings and to our families and our mosque communities, but also to the other orders of creation, the other biological nations or umam, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasizes this, and part of the fullness and the goodness, the tayyib quality of our Ramadan, that which will, inshallah, bring about the Creator's statement, Tibtum, you are good, when finally we are resurrected. Inshallah, we hope for this. We don't deserve it, but He is generous. We hope to hear that word, Tibtum, you are goodly people, ethical as well as just law-abiding, so that inshallah we're people of balance, people of prophetic wisdom, people of compassion for all orders of creation, people of good health. Inshallah, Ramadan is a time of good health. May Allah accept our fasting, bring us safely to the Eid, and bring about great harmony and goodness in our communities, in our families, and in the whole world, inshallah, in this blessed month. Barakallahu fikum wal afu minkum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.